Like you said, my name is Joshua Yonkers. Like I said, I'm a member here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. Go to the youth, that kind of stuff, you know. Thank y'all coming for so much to our Youth Sunday. Thank you so much, Pastor, for... Oh, yeah. Thanks. Forgot about that. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to do this, because I love to preach like this. It's such a blessing. Not many people get to do this. I mean, it's like... It's pretty good. We'll go ahead and pray in, and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day, first time of fellowship that we get to be together. We ask, Lord, you may, Holy Spirit, that you may move through this place, Father, that hearts will be convicted. Help me, Lord, so I'm about to preach the word. I'm pretty nervous right now, but help me, Lord God, because I'm about to do your will. Thank you, Lord, again for everything and for all your blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Couple weeks ago, my neighbors came over, and they asked me, because they're going on a trip. They said, hey, could you take care of our dogs for us? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, you know, favor. Brother, you know, they're brothers and sisters in Christ, so yeah, sure. So for the past week, I had to take care of their dogs over. They were gone, and they live, like, right behind me, so it's just like, I just walk over there. I have to feed them, water them, make sure they're okay, make sure everything's good over there. It was supposed to be me and my sister, but somebody left for camp, so, I mean, not to mention names. But notice that they didn't say, oh, here you go, take, you know, here's our dogs. I was to take care of them. I was responsible for them. They're not mine to keep, though. They weren't my new pets or nothing like that. But I was responsible because I had taken up that decision to do so. Today will be in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25:14. While y'all find there, I just want to kind of share this a little bit. It's pretty interesting. I actually found this. So I was like looking through my Bible one night, and I was looking at like definitions and concordance and stuff. And I stumbled upon this verse, and I went and read it, and I was like, the Holy Spirit convicted me on this one. This was the one. I really believed it. So we'll go ahead and read the passage here, and then we'll get started. Starting verse 14, for it's just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately the man had received 5 talents, went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man had received 1 talent, went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more, said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you were faithful over a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. The man with 2 talents also approached. He said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. The man that received 1 talent also approached and said, Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. His master replied to him, You evil, lazy servant, if you knew that I'd reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would receive my money back with interest when I return. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and you will have more than enough. But for the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing servant into outer darkness, where he'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'll go and pray real quick, then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you, Lord, again for this day. Just coming in prayer again, Father, just to thank you, Father, just for his service, Lord, for the worship. It was beautiful. Just for all you've done, Father, again, for Brother Ben preaching for us, Lord. We thank you, Father. That's for our day again, that you'll just help us, Lord, in this place. Help me, Lord, because I'm pretty nervous. So help me, Lord, guys, to do this. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. So let's go ahead and get started in verse 14. So it says, for it's just like a man about to go on a journey, he calls on servants and trusts his possession to them. Now, back in verse chapter 24, his disciples were asking Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know, it's like you're talking about end times and stuff. It's like, what are the signs and stuff? Like, what's going to be happening? And so Jesus was explaining about, like, you know, what's going to happen at the end. So we're here in chapter 25, and we're talking about the parable of talents. I'm sure some of y'all have heard this one before. So again, a parable is it's literally just an illustration with a deeper meaning, right? So in that case, the man in this parable is Jesus. the servants are we believers, me, you, everyone in here who's accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. And the journey is the time between his ascension and to now, which we call the church age, age of grace, etc. You know. Now, it says that he has entrusted possessions to us, right? This right here is what we call stewardship. Did a little research. I do like, you know, get like a nice definition of it. So stewardship is the management of another person's property, finances, or household affairs. Now again, stewardship, just like I take care of my neighbor's dogs, right? It's not yours to keep. It's not yours to own, but you got to treat it like it's yours. You got to make sure everything's well taken care of. Why? Because you are entrusted with that. So Jesus being our master, he has entrusted his possessions, you know, this world and all the responsibilities come with it to us, we believers, to take care of this, right? We're our managers over it. We as stewards do not do anything, but rather we are managers or what he has entrusted to us. Right now, it's not ours to keep. We are just taking care of it. So here's basic plot of the saying right here. Master, he's got his servants like, hey guys, about to go on a journey, so like I need y'all to take care of my stuff. So moving on to verse 15. He gave one 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey. Now, if you are a believer in Christ, God has given you time, talents, and treasures, the 3 T's of stewardship, like hell, to use to advance his kingdom with. You get time, which are day-to-day opportunities to advance his kingdom any way possible. Talents, which could be skills or, you know, physical abilities they can use for his kingdom. And treasures, which could be, you know, financial stuff, you know, like money, or it could even be, you know, a car, you know. Whatever it is that God has blessed you with to advance his kingdom work. Now, as faithful stewards, we must use these resources for his kingdom agenda, which is, you know, loving God, glorifying him, spreading love of Jesus, you know, saving souls, etc. You get what I'm saying? God's work for us, we the church, what we're supposed to do. Now, just like how he knows here that the master gave his servants specific amount of talents, right? He gave some more, gave some less, based on their abilities. God will also entrust possessions to we believers based on how we will use them. So you gotta notice here, the master and the servant parable, he wasn't dumb. He knew his servants. He knew what they were going to do with it. He knew if they're responsible. He knew how hard they work. He knew the products of their labor. Why? Because he's their master and he knows them. God knows you better than you do yourself. The Bible says he knows how many hairs you have on your head. So I mean, he knows all of us better than we know ourselves. And he knows how you're going to manage those resources that he has blessed you with, which are, you know, blessings, opportunities, gifts, whatever it may be. He knows how you're going to take care of that. But whether you receive more or less, you must manage it wisely. Make sure you do that. Now, before we move on at verse 15, I did a little research here, and I thought this was pretty interesting. So, I don't know about y'all, but whenever I first read this, I thought this was like, you know, like talents was maybe like a form of money, right? Not really. So a talent was a weight. Back in those days, talents were weights that they would use to measure like metals and stuff, right? A talent was, let's say, 3,000 shekels, which is about 75 pounds. Now, to bring it to 2023, something you and I can understand, I'm going to try and tell you what this would be worth nowadays. Because back in those days, like you move on to verse 18, right? It says, you know, money, right? It mentions the word money. So that was probably silver, what they're thinking. So, let's go ahead and get into this. 1 talent of silver is worth $25,814. 2 talents is $51,627. And 5 talents, which is when you receive the most, is $129,090. So that's a pretty good sum of money that he entrusted to his servants. Notice that even though the last one only received one, $25,000 is still quite a lot of money to be managing, especially if he's an irresponsible servant. So notice that he still gave him more than enough, even though it was less, still more than enough to get work done. Let's see how they managed it. Now it says again, then he went on journey, so be gone. Verse 16, immediately the man had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. Okay. In the same way, the man too earned 2 more. Notice the word immediately here. The servants immediately went to work and made back money. They were wise and went off and accomplished their goals ASAP. They weren't like, hey, master, you know, look, I know like you gave me this stuff, right? But I got a couple things I got to do. Let me do that first. Or give me a couple weeks and I'll get straight to work. Straight to work as soon as they got it. We as believers must likewise immediately get to using the blessings and resources that God has put before us. He has entrusted to us, remember, we as stewards, and start accomplishing his will and work for our lives. Whether it's between individually, like just me as a person, or it be us as a church. Remember, it's all about doing his work. But that's not all. Notice something else here. If we notice how that they went to work, right? It says they went to work, and what did they do? Earned five more and earned two more. Notice that they were fruitful. If we work for the Lord, we do what he has commanded us to do in his word, we too will be fruitful and useful for his kingdom. Now, y'all don't have to turn here, but I'm going to go ahead and go to Joshua 1:8, and let's kind of give a little broader understanding of this, I think. Let me see here. Here we go. All right. So, right here, right? So Moses had just passed away. Joshua was now in charge of the Israelite army. So he's talking to him right here, right? Trying to encourage him. This book of instruction, which was Pentateuch, first five books, must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. Check this out. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Now, you notice it said you got to meditate on it. Meditate don't just mean read it and put it away and time to go to bed, right? It means that whenever you read it, you soak it in and live it out. So when you do that with God's word, when you read his word, soak it in and live it out, Bible says you will prosper in his word. It's important to notice that. So we saw two first sermons, right? What they did. What does servant number three do? Well, let's see verse 18. But the man received one talent, went off, okay, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. He did something a little bit different there now, didn't he? He buried it in the backyard. Huh, that's kind of interesting. Now, why did he do that? Why did he bury the money? Because he didn't care about his master's affairs. He didn't care about the orders he was given. He didn't care about the responsibility that was before him. And he didn't care what his master told him to do, all right? He's like, look, you're my master and all, and I serve you, but I got stuff that I got to do first. It's like, let me do that. I'm going to put this back here, and, you know, let me take care of my stuff. He held on to his desires, his own desires, what he wanted to do himself, which had no gain, because right now, did earthly desires, and he didn't do what his master wanted him to do. I hope nobody in this church acts the same way, because remember now, our master has given us orders. Our master has told us what to do in his word. Advance the gospel, tell others about Jesus, make disciples, etc., you know. I hope we don't act so foolishly by just putting it away, and we got our own priorities we got to do ourselves. Moving on to verse 19. After a long time, doesn't say what amount of time, long time, right? The master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So, he came back. He's like, all right, guys, back from journey, got my stuff done. What did y'all do? Very similarly, we as believers in Christ are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we're going to have to give an account for everything we did for the kingdom. And I hope we all got something to say. Because if we stand for Christ and we ain't got nothing to tell him, that's not going to be too good. Not going to be good at all. So let's see how the servants responded at this. Let's see how they did this. Verse 20. The man had received five talents, approached, presented five more talents, and said, master, you gave me five talents. See, I've earned five more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. The man with two talents also approached. He said, master, you gave me two talents. See, I've earned two more talents. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You're faithful over a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. couple things I want to take out of this. Now, even though servant number one got 130,000 bucks, servant number two only got 50, 5 talents and 2 talents, notice that they received the same rewards. They were both rewarded because of their faithfulness. I will put you in charge of many things, is what it says. Because they were faithful with what they had given, whether much or little, they were faithful with that, and guess what? They were rewarded. Same thing with we as Christians. Whether you've been given more or less, entrusted more or less by the Lord, you need to be able to make sure you manage that wisely. And guess what will happen? You'll be rewarded. Notice how, number two, notice how the servants were confident when they approached their master. They said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents or 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more or 5 more. If you yourself know as a believer in Christ, as his steward, that you yourself are doing a good job for him, that you are doing his work and you are advancing his kingdom and accomplishing his will for your life, then you should be confident, knowing that one day when you stand before Christ, you'll have something to say. Knowing one day when you stand before him, you'll say, "Lord, I did my part. I did what you told me to do. I was faithful." Stand confident when that day comes. And last thing I want to notice here is at the end, to both of them, share your master's joy. When you do God's work faithfully, your master is joyful. Your master rejoices. He is happy with the work that you have done. And he says, share it. Share your master's joy. We too should also be joyful, knowing that our master who is in heaven is also joyful about the work that we have accomplished for him. Now, I'm thinking, all right, these two servants did pretty good, right? They did what they're told to do. Now what happens if you don't do what you're told to do? Great question. We're about to find out. Verse 24. The man had received 1 talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed." Let's dig into this just for a little bit. Now we notice that the first two made their master's priorities their priorities, made his affairs their affairs, and put what their master told them to do first. They are faithful, and they're rewarded. That's not what servant number three did. He did not care about what his master said. He didn't care about what his master told him to do. So guess what? He didn't do anything. And so now that his master's come back, it's time to give his excuses of why he didn't do it. So here he goes in verse 24. He says, "Master, I know you." All right, so he claims to know him. A lot of people nowadays claim to know Jesus. They claim to know God. They claim to be believers and claim to be saved. But it's like James said, faith without works is dead. If there's no works without faith, what makes me believe that you're saved? What makes me believe that you truly know the master that I know? But nonetheless, he claims that he knows him. Second thing he says he's a harsh man. Now, let's say there's a kid, right? Let's say I'm like a young kid or something before I'm saved. And let's say I stole a candy bar from the gas station, right? My parents caught me. Now, my parents could do two things. They could say, "All right, Josh, look, that's not good. Don't do that again." Okay. They've already warned me not to steal. I've already been taught that. They could say, "Don't do that again. But, you know, we'll let fly this time, you know." Or they could pull out the belt and discipline their kid. I know my parents, they would pull out the belt. But let me tell you something. If somebody were to see that, what would you think? Oh, hitting a child, that's cruel. That's a harsh thing to do. But it's not that. It's just discipline. Because if you don't discipline, guess what's going to happen? They're going to get steered in the wrong direction because you never taught them what was right. And that's what this servant here was thinking. He's thinking discipline is harshness, is cruelty, when it's not. Our math, we serve a very fair and loving master who disciplines his kids. So when God has to discipline you for something stupid that you did, don't go around and start calling him harsh master like portraying him like this servant is. Because he's only loving you. And he's only disciplining you because he wants you to do the right thing. Nonetheless, he claims he's a harsh man. Last thing he says, he claims that he, quote, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. Okay, he's claiming that he takes what he doesn't have a right, what he doesn't have a right to claim as his. Now, what's interesting here is that the master owns all this, right? The master, he owns a servant, and he owns the talents that he put in their possession. But this servant still thinks that he's stealing. He still thinks he's taking what's not his when he owns it all. That's the thing we as Christians got to realize. God owns everything. We own absolutely zero, nada. We own, Bible says, I don't even own this body. This body of mine had to be given to me. I remember I said it before one time when I was doing like a lesson. There was a man, and he was a believer, and his house burnt down. And so his friends came to him, and he said, hey man, you know, I hate to say it, man, but literally your house just burnt to the ground. He's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, John, you know, it's like, we just saw it. Your house is like in shambles. It's gone. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, dude, we just saw it. We just came from there. You don't have a house anymore. And he's like, I don't know, man, because I'm telling him, I don't have a house. That house was given to me by God. And if he wants to let it burn, then that's his problem. He's going to put me somewhere else. See, that man got it. He understood. He understood that he owned nothing. He understood that nothing was his and that it was all his. It was all his master's. So we as Christians need to get that too. And once you do get that, trust me, it'll be so much easier to let go of worldly things, to give when you need to give, because you've realized that it's not yours and you have nothing. However, this servant claims that he's still taking what he doesn't have a right to take, right? He's like, so because of that, verse 25, so I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. So he claims that he was acting out of fear. Now, if he would have really feared his master, I'm pretty sure he would have gotten to work, because he would have feared the consequences as well. If you fear God, if you have true respect towards your true master, your master who's in heaven, then I would assume that you too will be doing the work that he has called you to do, to be managing the resources that he has entrusted to you correctly and wisely. But again, so that's his explanation. He's like, okay, master, it's like, that's why I did it. But like, look, but you still got what's yours. Now, I think the master's got a thing or two to say about this. Verse 26, his master replied to him, you evil, lazy servant. Ooh, man. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I return. Now, by repeating the servant's charge against him, which is, you know, scattering where you haven't scattered seed, right? He condemns his own words. How's the master condemn him with his own words? Because if what the servant claimed was true, which, you know, portray him to be the bad master that he was, then again, that would have been all the reason for him not to be slothful. He should have gotten to work. Even if it was just putting it, what? In a bank account. Now, even though he wouldn't have physically been out working it, it would have been a responsible action to do, because one, it would have been in a safe place. Two, the bankers could still use for what they have going on. I don't know, like make loans or whatever they do. And three, would have got a little interest back. We as God's stewards, we as believers, you, me, everybody here in this room who's, you know, child of God, right? We know that we serve a loving, yet just, fair master. We don't serve a harsh master who doesn't care about his servants. Knowing the consequences, we need to advance his kingdom. But if you are, for some reason, in a legitimate situation where, like, say you couldn't serve because, like, say, like actual job or medical condition, right? Then that's why you should give your resources that God's entrusted to someone who can serve. That's what's so important about giving. Because here's, for instance, can I go to China right now? No, I literally still have like 3 months of school left. I'm super behind. But I can't go to China right now and do mission work. But I could give to someone who's already over there, to a brother or sister who is working over there. That's why giving is so important when it comes to kingdom work. Because even though you yourself have been entrusted with resources, and you may not be able to physically go out and put them to work in a certain way, then you can still give them to someone who can. But just remember that there's never an excuse. That there's always some way you can serve God. There's always some way you can advance His kingdom. We're all called to do it. Moving on to verse 28. He says, so take the talent from him and give it to one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he'll have more than enough. For the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, if you've been faithful with what God has entrusted to you, or again, it be time, talents, or treasures, like we just went over, while you're on planet Earth, and you faithfully fulfill your God-given role of being a steward, then guess what? You will be greatly rewarded in heaven. What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words never fade away. Okay, what does that mean? That means all this stuff here on earth, all these physical things that we can hold on to, that's going to leave one day. That's going to turn to dust one day. But the truth, but him, but Jesus will never fade away. He will always be here. I think I lost my place. Oh, man. Again, but by doing that, you'll be rewarded, right? Because you're faithful and you'll be rewarded in heaven. But if you are not faithful, then you'll receive no blessings when you go to heaven. Not only will the things of this world pass away, the little that you have, that will be taken away, but guess what happens? If you're a believer and you don't do what God's called you to do, you go to heaven and that's it. There's no rewards waiting. There's no funsies waiting for you. Because guess what? Because Bible says the worker is worthy of his wages. That's what 1 Timothy 5:18. If you didn't work, guess what? You won't be rewarded. For some of y'all don't know, just give an illustration of this. I like to mow grass. I like to work when I can. And let's say somebody called me up and said, hey, I need you to mow front yard real quick, right? Saturday afternoon, why not, you know? And I go over there. I got my gas-powered push mower, which is really awesome. Got my electric weed eater, which ain't so awesome. And I go over there to work, right? I got all my stuff. We're going to make this yard look nice. I mean, sweet, right? And let's say I go over there, and I did absolutely nothing. I'm like, full time, or looking at my phone or something, or drink a bottle of water. And then the guy calls me up and says, hey, did you mow the grass? And I say, no, I didn't, actually. They're like, well, why not? I'm like, well, you know, maybe the grass was like too high or something. It's like, that's why I called you to mow the grass, because it was too high. See, that's the thing. Do you think I'm going to get paid? I don't think so. It'd be very nice if I would anyways. I don't think so. But that's just it. When you're not doing God's kingdom work, don't expect to receive rewards when you get to heaven. There ain't going to be nothing waiting for you. Because what happened when the worker didn't work? The worker don't get paid. Pretty simple. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. Moving on to the last verse. Verse 30. Almost done with this. And throw this good-for-nothing servant. Notice how he says good-for-nothing there. That if you don't do work, God calls you good-for-nothing. Servant into outer darkness, where he'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I did some research on this, right? I've heard some commentators say this is about hell, but remember now, Christian can't lose their salvation. But this isn't really a reference to hell, but rather to extreme regret that when you get to heaven one day, there's nothing waiting. There's no rewards. Now, they may have been saved, but their earthly lives were useless to the kingdom. And guess what? They miss out on all the good stuff. Either way, whichever way it may be, you don't want to be in that situation. I hope none of us in this room are on that way. sitting back doing nothing, looking out for myself and not for my master. But if you're concerned only about what you want, only about what your affairs, only about your priorities, you're already on that path. You will be. And you'll regret it one day. I'm about to close out here, but I do want to give an illustration. A man entered the lottery one time. And he's like, you know what? Just for fun, I'm going to listen to when they call out the winning number. So he listened, right? Not telling anybody here to gamble, because that's wrong. I also don't gamble. But let's say, like I said, he listens to when they call it out, right? And it calls out the first number, and it's good. Okay. Second number is good. All right. Third number is good. Sounds pretty good. Fourth number is all right. Okay. Fifth number is good. All right. Looking pretty good. Sixth number is good. Yeah, it looks like I'm about to be a millionaire. Number seven comes, and it's off by one number. One number. And he's over there, he's, you know, crying and screaming, agonizing over what he could have had. And every time he pays the bill, he's thinking, I could have been a millionaire. One day we're going to stand for Christ. And he's going to tell you what you could have been, what you could have done, what he could have done through you, what you could have had. And then he's going to scratch your name off that list and give it to the person next to you. What is that supposed to mean? That when you're not faithful with the resource he's entrusted to you, don't expect any wages in return. Don't expect any rewards when you get to heaven, because there's not going to be none waiting for you. Why? Because the worker didn't work. And I hope nobody in this room is on that way. So my challenge here for you guys today is, be the steward that God has called you to be. Are you managing your resources wisely? Are you managing the gifts, the abilities, and blessings that God has entrusted to you for his kingdom work and not for yours? Are you looking out for your own interests? For the master who bought you from slavery of sin, and brought you to righteousness. Saved by grace through faith alone, free gift of salvation. He did it all for you. He didn't have to. He didn't have to die on that cross. He would have been more than just to let us die in hell forever. But he still provided salvation. He still did for us. Because why? Because he loved us. And he still does, and he always will. Are you being the faithful steward that God has called you to be for his kingdom work?